Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 15th of September, recording at 9:26 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Another interesting day. Asian stock markets were mostly quiet. But that said, we had Japan up 1.76%, Australia up 1.65%. We also had a pretty good day from India. But Europe's where we saw the big action, and it's strong. We have gains of nearly 4% on some indices. Best one that I see at the moment is Sweden, up 3.81%. And Spain and Italy, again, three gains of over 3.5%. The Euro stock index, just about 3.5%, 3.47 to be exact. UK up over 2%. Wall Street closed out at the highs of the day. It was firm most of the day, up 186 on the Dow, up 20 on the S&P, that's 1.72%. Up slightly less on the NASDAQ, but 1.34%. Against that background, other regional markets here also were steadier, although Brazil was only slightly higher. The long-dated government bond markets were considerably weaker against that background. The U.S. 30-year long bond futures price is down one and over a point, 1.04 as I speak. And the US dollar a little weaker in here today. We see the euro has pushed back up to 138.83. Australian dollar firmed a little bit in here today, 103.23. And sterling, 158.05. The Asian dollar index looks a little oversold, seems to have lost downside momentum. And in the commodity markets, precious metals caught more profit-taking in here today. The one exception was palladium, which has been an underperformer recently. It was up $7, but platinum is down 28 to 1787 and change. Silver down nearly 64 to 39.89. And gold bullion down 32 and change. It's currently at 1787. Industrial metals were higher. Crude was steady, up to, I think, 12.5 on the Brent. WTI at 89.25. Grains and beans were weaker in here today, as was cotton, which had been firm recently. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we're still getting the volatility. Churning action, I think that high-frequency trading has something to do with that, but there's no doubt that we've also got plenty of disagreement here between the bulls and the bears, and that's helping to yank markets back and forth. We've had four consecutive days to the upside on Wall Street. That last happened at the end of August, and then the market promptly fell quite sharply, but did not challenge its U.S. market lows, which were established on the 8th and 9th of August. So those lows are still holding. And the NASDAQ has broken back above its previous reaction lows. In other words, pushed back up into its top area and not quite beyond the halfway point, midpoint danger line level, but it's a good move, nevertheless. Impressive. And we like the strength of some of the lead sectors in here, not least technology, high yield shares doing well. Now, there are also encouraging signs occurring. Governments, we know, are crisis-oriented, and there has been certainly more activity this week. We've got Geithner going to Poland for that meeting of European ministers tomorrow. It'd be interesting to see what comes from that. We've got the Fed's Jackson Hole two-day meeting coming here next week. And the markets are clearly discounting some additional stimulus, and even is concluding that the Eurozone activity is a little less divided and ineffectual, although no one should underestimate the size of those big problems. A key indicator discussed yesterday is, of course, that European Banks Index. And to put a floor under these European markets that can hold, we really do see we need to see a very good rally in that European Banks Index. Now, in terms of our thoughts overall, and you know that it was last week that we were saying, sort of near the beginning of last week, that although we've been describing this very much as a bear market, that I had said in my audios that Owen and I felt that there was at least a 50-50 chance that the key market, the USA, had seen its lows, and that a number of other markets, including the UK, would move accordingly. And then, of course, we saw markets weaken throughout most of last week, but again, they've rebounded in here this week. And that conclusion, that view remains the same. Now, it doesn't apply to all markets, and no forecast really ever does, because the serially weak markets have remained serially weak. The steadier ones have remained generally quite firm, although there's been a little bit of selling pressure in that ASEAN sector overall. But again, big multinational leaders, take Apple and McDonald's. You don't get two better examples than that. And I'd mention Amazon as well. These share prices are very, very firm in here. So I think that, again, this is still a tricky, choppy period. If we see this market continuing tomorrow, and after 4 days to the upside, it wouldn't be at all surprising to see some profit taking. But if we see this continuing tomorrow and into next week, then that will considerably increase the chances that we have indeed seen some sustainable lows for the U.S. and a number of other stock markets. So, we are by no means despondent in here, but it's been a difficult, choppy period, and not easy to trade, and not easy to analyze overall as well. And I do think, though, that we will learn a lot in the next week or so in terms of overall action on these markets. Bottom line, U.S., as long as those lows from the 8th and 9th of August, those August lows, as long as they hold, then there is a reasonable chance that we are in a support building phase here prior to some additional gains in the last quarter of the year. Now, if that's going to happen, I would expect to see higher long-dated government bond yields, which we have seen when previous stimulus packages have come forward. And higher bond yields would also indicate that investors were backing away from that extreme flight to so-called safety in long-dated issues. It would also indicate that people were less pessimistic about GDP growth. In other words, rising bond yields for U.S. Treasuries gilts would suggest that there was less fear of recession and growing deflationary pressures. I feel it's a stagflationary environment. I think the Fed would quite happily is positively trying to induce a little bit of inflation in this market. So put it all together, if this is an important bottom area, we would expect to see a good short covering rally in bank shares. We would expect to see the Nasdaq push back up to its highs. We would expect to see long-dated government bond prices move upwards. That means yields would come down. I would expect the sharp setback that we've seen in the Asian dollar index recently to be reduced. In other words, I'd expect those Asian currencies, which have been subject to some weakness recently, to firm up a bit. And for investors in terms of strategies, I've often in these audios said that I felt that we were in an area where investors could nibble, and that remains very much my view. Now, what about gold prices? You may recall comments last week and the week before that because fear had been such a big factor in driving gold higher. You know, we describe gold as a market that people buy because they fear what's happening everywhere else, and they also buy gold because they love the idea of holding gold, and they love its historical track record as the world's best protector of wealth over the long term. Now, fear, though, had been the ascendant factor here, so that if confidence improves somewhat in stock markets, and we could expect to see some profit taking in gold, which was overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. And we mentioned that on a daily basis, and therefore consolidation, backing off reaction and consolidation would be a healthy process. Well, that's what we're seeing here right now. And it may well continue. I'm happy to view this from the sidelines right now, but I don't expect to be out of gold and silver for all that long in terms of my futures positions. I should say, I think that those who are holding bullion funds don't need to worry overly. We don't see any evidence that this is the end of the bull cycle. The secular bull market that we've been talking about for the last decade, we don't see any evidence that that is over. But when it gets overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, it does get pullbacks, as you've seen on every other occasion. The only exception to that, well, there will be no exceptions to that except when we go into a mania phase in gold, and I certainly don't think we've seen anything like that so far, but when we do eventually get a mania phase in gold, then I would expect it to soar way above its 200-day moving average, and that will be climactic. That will be the end of the bull move. But I don't think that is at hand. So, precious metals. If you are a bit light in the sector, you as I am right now, then additional weakness here over the short term would present another buying opportunity. And again, if you hold the The bullion funds, I don't think one ought to worry too much about what's probably a healthy correction. Silver will take its cue from gold. Platinum, we've seen an upside failure here, but as that gets back down towards the lower side of its trading range, which is down at 1750 area, that starts to look quite attractive. Once again, get down into the 1750 to lower 1700s. That's an interesting area for platinum, as indeed it is for gold. Crude oil. It's firm. We would be happier if the crude oil price was lower, but we may not see that. This is a secular bull market for commodities, after all. The oil supply demand balance is still fairly tight, with Libyan production down. Encouraging article, by the way, on Libya from the Times, which I've posted as my leader item here today. I think that's well worth having a look at. Owen's done another excellent chart review of interesting developments in the long-dated government bond markets, not least. Some of those bond futures prices are looking toppy. So, all to play for. Interesting times. All the best.